It's been three business days. I've been busy. I've been doing other things. I've been traveling, been, you know, work. Got a lot of legal stuff going on in the office. So I've been otherwise preoccupied. So I'm not pissed off. But today, as I'm recording this, I look at my message and I think to myself, damn, this guy's literally passing up on 200 grand. I don't give a damn who you are. Maybe the 200 grand is not a lot to you. That's respectable. That's fine. But you don't respond to my message? Okay, it was social media. It was direct. I got a verified account, bro. I know you saw it. We've exchanged messages before. I'm not going to a separate inbox. And the point here is, I'm a very accessible person. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Higher Standard Podcast, where we give you ultra premium, unfiltered truth when it comes to building your wealth and curating the lifestyle of your dreams. No games, no drama, and no shenanigans. I am your host, Chris Nahibi, and I'm here to help you distill the immense amount of information and disinformation out there on the interwebs and give you the opportunity to choose a higher standard for yourself. There are no gurus here, and no one gives a damn about how wealthy you look. I'm an attorney and a banker, amongst other things. Does that mean you should listen to me? Hell no. This is just full disclosure that while we talk about money, wealth, law, investing, and a lot of related topics, you should always speak to your own advisors for an opinion tailored to your unique investment perspective. I am obligated to tell you that nothing contained in this show is in fact legal or investment advice and is being provided solely for entertainment purposes. So sit back, relax your mind, and get ready for a different kind of podcast where we elevate your baseline in crispy, high-resolution audio. This isn't a different standard. It's the higher standard. So in this show, I want to spend a little bit of time really diving into one of the things you'll hear me say constantly. I'm always throwing around the expression, relationships are the truest form of currency. And I throw it around a lot. I say it to a lot of different people. And I think that a lot of people who hear me say that don't really understand what I mean. A lot of people, particularly in the business sense, and I understand you're listening to this podcast for business advice, we spend a lot of time talking about all these things that aren't necessarily straight to the point business. And that's because I think people misunderstand business. I am not talking about networking. I don't give a damn about your social functions. And I don't really care what group you're paying to be a part of. We've all done it. I've done it. Whatever. Those are not true relationships. Those are just opportunities you guys are trying to explore with one another. And they come off insincere as shit sometimes. But we all do it. It's business. I get it. Whatever. Stay tuned to the end for this because this really does impact your business. We're going to talk about how this really comes down to your return on investment. But before we do, I need to lay some foundational groundwork so we can all have a mutual appreciation for what I mean when I say that. And how we can all be a little better when it comes to our relationships. I'm the first to admit that I'm not the world's greatest friend. I know that. I'm not the world's greatest brother. I'm so focused on business and I'm so trying to be so many different things that I just don't have a lot of time. And the extra time that I have, I pour into my wife and pour into my son. They are absolutely by far and away the most important people in my life. And I want them to feel and know that. I get the struggles as an entrepreneur, as somebody who wants to be successful. I get the struggles of the pressure to be in social situations and to do all those things. But relationships are the truest form of currency doesn't necessarily mean you have to be the world's greatest friend or you aim to even be that. I mean, I don't even know how realistic that is in today's society where so much of our relationships are digital. Just because you see what happens with me on a weekend with my son doesn't mean that we had a conversation. It just means you looked at my story on Instagram. So we're talking about two different specific types of relationships here. The first one is the relationship with yourself. Okay, you need to understand, do a self-assessment, be able to look in the mirror and know who and what you are in a way that is unwavering but realistic. You need to set realistic expectations for yourself, realistic goals. You need to drive into that. You need to be focused on the things that you want and be prepared to ask yourself the tough questions like, man, I've been arguing with a lot of people recently. I'm the common denominator. Maybe it's me. I'm not saying you have to conclude that you're a bad person, but you need to be able to self-reflect enough to make that pivot if necessary. Because if you can't do that for yourself and your own actions, how the hell are you going to do that for your business? How the hell are you going to do that for your employees? You need to be logical and pragmatic about who and what you are. But rather than throw out my opinion here, which frankly is just another dude's opinion, right? I'm going to give you one of Thoreau. He had a famous quote that most men lead lives of quiet desperation. And I break this down in a book that I'm writing, and we get into it. But I want to throw out some segments that I originally found years ago on the Art of Manliness website. It's a wonderful article. If you can find it, look it up. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to give you little bits and pieces that I found thought-provoking. That quote is most frequently used as a reason for following one's passion and achieving a life which avoids the mediocrity of playing it small and attains the extraordinary success, right? So you see it on Instagram. You know, you see it everywhere. You see these kids, you're throwing it out, but they don't really know what that means, because Thoreau was not a man who sought material wealth. Another one of his famous quotes is, if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours. Again, that sounds so motivational, so driven. But Thoreau wasn't the guy we think he was. We're just taking things that he said and trying to layer in or layer over, you know, our technological perspective and our hustle and grind, Wolf of Wall Street, go, go, go mentality. Let's not forget, the Wolf of Wall Street went to jail in the end. And a whole entire generation has grown up idolizing Jordan Belfort. You know what? And he might be the world's greatest motivational speaker. He might be a great dude. He might be a lot of things. But understand, the road that he took to get there is not necessarily a road that most people want or would even think to take. Another less quoted statement from Thoreau is about success. If the day and night are such that you greet them with joy and life emits a fragrance like flowers and sweet scented herbs, is more elastic, more starry, more immortal, that is your success. And you can see how he pivots. Now he sounds like a hippie. It sounds like he's one joint away from having a good day on a sunny afternoon doing nothing with no money at all. As a matter of fact, the more you start researching who Thoreau was, the person who made this quote that is so profoundly used to drive people in successful ways, and you see these Instagram memes and quotes, he was actually a dedicated homebody. He rarely traveled from home. He refused to dedicate himself to his father's full-time pencil manufacturing business, though he possessed the mechanical acumen and inventiveness and all the stuff that he would need to have turned him something into a massive probably business or frankly, you know, be able to eclipse what his father did. Sound familiar so far? A lot of us want to follow in our father's footsteps, but choose a different path. Instead, Thoreau structured his life to allow for as little work and as much writing and meditative leisure as possible. Ironic, right? As little work as possible so we could focus on writing and meditative leisure. And yet, I don't know if that meant he was successful or not successful in terms of money. What I do know is he's still somebody we talk about today. His legacy lasted so far beyond his death that we honor his quotes to this day. So maybe he understood something we didn't about himself. And even when it came to writing, while he did care about his works being read and praised, at least by those he respected, he was unwilling to alter them in order to court a broader audience. Thoreau's friend and mentor, Ralph Waldo Emerson, somebody that I have read since I was in elementary school and studied throughout college, thought that if his protege had one flaw, it was his lack of ambition. The man we use and drive our success with was most criticized by his own mentor for having a lack of ambition. And yet, we use the quote, most men leave lives of quiet desperation, without understanding he was talking about anybody who worked in the traditional sense, because in his mind that wasn't successful. Yet the irony here is, despite his lack of ambition, despite his unwillingness to waver in what his message was going to be, while he respected people's opinion, he is still one of the most iconic names for writers in history. How crazy is that? he could have been completely insane. I'm not saying he's cutting off his ear and mailing it to somebody or eating his paints. What I am saying is this man, for good or for bad, made a lasting legacy, and he wasn't driven by money. His lack of ambition may have been misunderstood by his mentor, but he still chose his path and he was successful because of it. That very well may be a wonderful relationship with himself, or it could be a very toxic relationship with himself. But the only barometer of that decision would have been his own internal happiness. Because at the end of the day, that's what you have to do. Nobody can make you happy. You have to make you happy. And if what you're chasing is doing it, then don't listen to your mentor. Don't listen to those people. If you were truly happy, you might wind up like Thoreau and having a name that goes down in history. But don't expect somebody else to get you there. And don't expect somebody else's criticism or statements to be the sole determinant of whether you're going to be successful or not. I know there's a lot to take in what I just said. So let's pivot a little bit and it'll all be a little bit more clear as it relates to ROI in business. The other relationship is your relationship with other people. And I've already told you at the outset of this conversation that my relationships with other people are flawed. I'm not expecting anybody to be perfect. But I remember watching a show, it was a Netflix show, I can't remember the name of it, but it was about serial killers. And all these serial killers are being interviewed, asking about why they did what they did. And every single one of them had a story about things that had happened to them, you know, things that went wrong. You know, all this logic, all this rationale for why they did it. People don't like to look in the mirror and see a bad person. The guy who cheated on his wife doesn't feel like he's a bad person. He feels like he was forced into it or had no other choice or makes whatever the hell excuse he wants. Because that person can't reconcile looking in the mirror saying, I'm a bad person who did a bad thing. Good people do bad things. I'm not defending anybody, just so you know. I'm just using that as an example. People who murder, people who steal, people who cheat, they all come up with rationale for these things. And generally speaking, they don't look in the mirror and say, damn, I did this. I'm a bad person. Damn, I should have done better. It's that self-accountability that really matters. But you have to understand in relationships in business, relationships with other people, relationships you're trying to be successful with, you have to understand the human paradigm. You have to understand how we work. So keep in mind, when you hear stories in the business world, as much as you hear them in your personal life, there is a universal truth you must accept. And it's so hard to do this because so much shit is inflammatory. So much stuff is out there. You know, if you hear something in the media and the other side of that argument chooses to be the bigger person and not address it in a public way, and choose to keep their silence, you might assume that person's guilty. In the business world, if a competitor comes to you and says that company did X, Y, and Z, and that other company chooses not to defend themselves because they have a higher ethical standard or doesn't want to go out there and waste their time and energy on things that don't produce money or just nonsensical to them, and I've seen that happen, you might judge them. You might come to your own conclusion. Don't do that. If you didn't hear someone say their side of the story, you only have one side. And I'll tell you right now, the same people who did you wrong are telling you a different version of the story, and they're playing the victim in their version. And that resonates with me tremendously. I grew up with a family that did that a lot. I grew up with friends around me who did that. And I made the strategic decision to slow my connections down with some of these people. And some of them, it's just the unfortunate reality that that can happen to you so many times where you have no other choice but to pull back. Because at the end of the day, if somebody takes somebody's unilateral version of a story and doesn't allow you the dignity of explaining yourself, your ethics, your ethos, your brand, you need to ask yourself, that's the person you want to do business with. That's the person you want to be around. And you need to ask yourself if you do the same thing. I often hear stuff in the news that's sensational. And I'm like, oh man, that dude's terrible. And I do come to those conclusions, but I try to prevent myself from going out publicly. I might have a conversation with my wife, but I try to do the time to take the time to do the research, try to figure things out, try to really assess the situation. So what does this mean for your business? What does this mean for return on investment? What does this knowing of the people and knowing how you interact and knowing yourself all mean? I'm going to give you an example of something that just happened to me this week. And it blows my fucking mind. I don't get it. It just blows my fucking mind. I hit up a guy on social media and I said, hey man, I've got an opportunity for you. This opportunity for him would pay him, if he could close and sell the transaction, which there's no reason why he could not, he's very good at his job, $200,000 in commission. I literally sent him a direct message saying, hey, I need you to do this. I can't think of anybody better. Here you go. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to get back to me. I'm not saying he's not going to, you know, ultimately read the message or not. What I am going to say is it's been 3 business days. I've been busy. I've been doing other things. I've been traveling, been, you know, work, got a lot of legal stuff going on in the office. So I've been otherwise preoccupied. So I'm not pissed off. But today, as I'm recording this, I look at my message and I think to myself, damn, this guy's literally passing up on 200 grand. I don't give a damn who you are. Maybe the 200 grand is not a lot to you. That's respectable. That's fine. But you don't respond to my message? Okay, it was social media. It was direct. I got a verified account, bro. I know you saw it. We've exchanged messages before. I'm not going to a separate inbox. And the point here is, I'm a very accessible person. And I am often criticized for being too responsive, too accessible. My emails are public. My mobile number is readily, easily identifiable. I am an easy person to get a hold of, and I do that on purpose. Now, if you send me a message that doesn't need to be responded to, or you're not asking me a specific question, or you're not asking or addressing, you know, it to me specifically, I get a lot of correspondence throughout the day. I may not have a time to respond to you, but I am somebody who will get back to you. You ask me a question on something like Instagram, and you're not a bot, and I don't think there's a scam going on, I'm going to respond, even if I don't like you. And that responsiveness, that accessibility, that knowing that I'm going to respond to you has been taken advantage of by so many friends. So many family members are like, oh my God, it's the middle of the day. You know, you're sending me a long message. You ask me a question, I'm being respectful and getting back to you immediately. I wear an Apple Watch. We all know I get it. It vibrates on my wrist. Okay. Yeah, I'm in meetings. Yeah, I got things to do. Sometimes I might table it for a couple hours or a day or whatever, but I'm going to get back to you. And it's usually before 24 hours, well before 24 hours. But what that does is it sets the precedence and the tone for the relationship with people in the business world, my personal life, interns. I don't give a damn who you are. People on social media, you got a financial question, you know you can ping me and I will respond to you. But that right there goes to show you the level, the value proposition that I bring to what I do. And I'm pausing for emphasis because we all should do that. I don't know what it is. There's something with the new generation where they like to leave messages on read, or they like to, you know, not respond quickly, even if they have like an Apple Watch or, you know, they've seen it. They don't like having read receipts on. And I think it parlays itself into this image of being busy. But I'll tell you right now, I manage 9 calendars. I manage multiple businesses. I work hard. And I'll tell you, if I can respond that way, so can you. And you big leaguing people doesn't help you seem busier or more exclusive or any of that horse shit that we throw out there. Relationships are the truest form of currency if you maintain them and you have a responsiveness. Because a relationship that you don't respond to is not a relationship. It's a fundamental baseline to any relationship's communication. And I'm not saying you got to openly talk about personal shit. I'm saying you got to be there to communicate and communicate quickly, because time is of the essence in everybody's fucking business. They're reaching out to you for something and they're sending you a message and you respond fast. That's the person they're going to reach out to and they need something again too. You want to be a salesperson? That's the secret. You want to build loyalty from your employees? That's the secret. That's the secret sauce. It's that simple. You got to be available to people. You got to be there to talk to them. You got to be able to interact with them. You got to have that personal connection in the sheer fact that they know they can access you. These bosses who have this closed door policy, these people who you know, try to drive this, you work for me, like I'm the, you know, head guy in charge. I have a job at the bank. Nobody works for me. They all work with me. I have a job in the things that I do. But the people, my independent contractors that I pay thousands, tens of thousands of dollars every single month to do work for me, if you perceive it that way, they don't work for me. They work with me. I respect them. I respect their opinions. I want to hear what they have to say. I wish we communicated more. And the people that I speak to the most frequently are the people I tap into for opinions, for more work. When things level up, when I go to the next level, I want everybody around me to come up with me because it is all love. And even if I hate you, even if I don't like you, I still want you to come up because we can not like each other at the next level. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about how you interact with people. I'm not saying you got to lie and be fake. I'm just saying you got to connect and be responsive. That's it. It's that simple. No marketing list, no stay top of mind bullshit. Somebody reaches out to you, respond fast. You connect with somebody, you expect the same thing. And they don't give that back to you. That's not a relationship. Period. End of story. Family, friends, I don't give a damn who it is. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate every single minute you spend listening to this, whether you're listening to me on a regular speed or 1.5 or 2. I appreciate every second of it, every minute. Please hit like, subscribe, follow. We're on multiple platforms. You can get me anywhere. The username is always the same, at Chris Nahibi. But tell your friends about the podcast. It means a lot to me to grow this platform and share it. We're really trying to help people. Thank you. Take care. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation on the Higher Standard Podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe or follow on whatever platform you are listening to this on. If you like this episode, please write a review and share it with us. You're getting the show up and running right now, so every message, every review, and every note counts. This show exists to showcase what's possible when leaders decide to uphold a higher standard for their businesses, their investments, their families, and most importantly, themselves. If you want to see more of my content, I post daily on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, so be sure to follow me on your favorite social media platform. And with that, it is a wrap. And as always, I look forward to hanging with you all on the next episode.